Hattai is written in Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he was born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he has said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing it, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for Quasimodo Genetai is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Let's start the text. Christ is risen. The risen Lord appears to the disciples for the first time after his death and burial. No figure. Those destined to become the first pastors and bishops of the church are confused and scared. They don't know what to make of the testimony of the women who were the first eyewitnesses of the resurrection. The doors are shut for fear that those who took the life of their master might be coming for them. In the midst of that confusion and doubt, the blessed Lord suddenly appears in their midst, and immediately he blesses them. "Peace be with you." Note, however, what it is that Christ connects with his words of peace. Is it a jovial, "Don't worry, guys, just be happy"? Is it a "Time heals all things, guys, just sit here and it'll all pass over"? Vague, meaningless cliches. No. The scriptural, factual truth is that he dispenses their fear and banishes their angst by showing them his glorious scars. The Lord has unfinished business with his disciples. They have been his seminary catechumens for 3 years. They have become the eyewitnesses to his life, to his miracles, his passion, his death, and now his resurrection. They are to be sent out, which is, in the Greek, to be apostle. They're being given an authority to preach and to teach the good news and to administer the sacraments of holy baptism, holy absolution, and the sacrament of the altar. But first, they must be ordained, because the Lord said so earlier. 6 chapters before today's text, the Lord promises that he will not leave his disciples to be orphans. He pledges a coming helper, a comforter, an advocate who will dwell with and in his apostles. And of course, as documented in the book of Acts, the church will receive a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that will see God's word spread around the world in the preaching of every language, with proclamation radiating out from Jerusalem unto the ends of the earth. As St. Paul would rhetorically ask many years later, "How will the people hear without a preacher. So even before the Holy Spirit is sent at Pentecost, the Lord gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to the men who are going to be doing the preaching. For without the Holy Spirit, how can they preach the Holy Gospel? And without holy orders, by what authority do they preach? And so the Lord appears to these disciples on this Sunday, not to catch up on old times, or to simply ease their guilt and grief, but rather to prepare them for their ministry, so that His saving work on earth will continue until He comes again. Christ Jesus passes on to the disciples the authority He received from His Father. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. He breathes on them, which is to say, He gives them His Spirit and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Thus, the disciples are now apostles, sent ones, ordained into the office of the holy ministry, sent out with Christ's authority to preach, to forgive sins, to retain sins, to baptize, to preside over the Lord's Supper. As the Father placed the Spirit upon the Son in His baptism, so the Son breathed this Spirit upon the apostles. And even as the scoffers did not believe how the Lord Jesus, a man, could forgive sins, scoffers will and do claim that the apostles and their pastoral successors, mere men, cannot forgive sins either. The forgiveness of sins is precisely the authority that the Lord gives as He ordains them. If you forgive, He says, they're forgiven. From the days of Adam and Eve, all of mankind has had a pressing need to hear the gospel. And even as the fallen multitudes listened as the Lord boldly forgave sins during His earthly ministry, so even today, you, fallen people, still have a pressing need to hear those blessed words of release, words of holy absolution, those words of the gospel. Because the same is needed today, the successors of the apostles also have Christ's authority by virtue of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The whole idea of the Holy Spirit imparting gifts is a controversial issue in the church. Some claim the Holy Spirit's ministry is to make people healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. Some claim that the Holy Spirit's work is to inject excitement into your lives and into the church's worship life. And if that excitement isn't seen or felt in your lives or in the worship service, well, then, not so sure if you're a believer. That congregation must be dead. Some claim the Holy Spirit is only present where miraculous tongues are spoken. Though, unlike the case of the apostles, these so-called tongues have nothing to do with the preaching of real words in real foreign languages to impart real forgiveness of sins and real salvation. Notice how the Lord links the gift of the Holy Spirit with the forgiveness of sins. Jesus doesn't promise fame and excitement, explosive church growth, and tons of money in the bank. In fact, it's these first apostles that would actually have harassment, torture, martyrdom, and exile come to them. The gift of the Holy Spirit isn't about fun and ego stroking. Rather, it's all about the gospel, the blood, and the water. The Holy Spirit defers to Jesus, who defers to his Father. By the Son's sacrifice, you are reconciled to the Father, and by the Spirit, you are led to Jesus in the hearing of his word, both through his law and his gospel. By his power, you are brought to repentance and belief, receiving his gifts of the blood and the water. And through the continued receiving of those gifts, you are kept in the faith. The Spirit's aim is always belief in Christ alone. By faith alone, through Christ Jesus alone, true life is given. For even as John testifies, the gospel account in Scripture is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There is a link between believing and life, just as life and breath are related. For breath is another way of saying spirit. Without the breath of the Holy Spirit, there's no life in you. If you are then as dead as the dry bones Ezekiel saw in his vision, without that breath in you. The bones can do nothing up for themselves, yet the breath of the triune God, manifested by his word, proclaimed by a preacher, acting under authority, under holy orders, God's authoritative breath worked the miracle of raising dead, dry bones to life. The proclaimed word of God resurrected living flesh where the old rotted away as a consequence of sin. The law had done what it only could do. The wages of sin is death. Now the preaching of the gospel linked bone with bone, sinew with sinew. And as the breath, the Spirit entered them, the once dead rose and stood anew. Ezekiel is commanded to preach to his sinful hearers the resurrection of the dead, the opening of their graves, and the gift of the Spirit unto life. His listeners are to hear the preacher's words, knowing that, as the triune God says, I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. When the preacher speaks under the authority of the Lord, it's the Lord's word, the Lord's promise, the Lord's forgiveness, it's the Lord's gift of the breath of life. That is what you leave here assured of. Having heard the Spirit, having heard the breath of life that points you through the way of living, through the way of dying and rising to new life, joyfully leaving, pointed to Christ's finished merits for you. You continue to celebrate Easter, which is a celebration of the raised, dying bones of the Lord. It took more than seeing to convince Thomas. took touching the hands and side of a once dead body to convince him that the Lord Jesus lives. In his mercy, the Lord not only takes Thomas's hands and puts them into his peace-gaining scars, but Christ would also lay those scarred hands upon doubting Thomas, forgiving him his sins, and ordaining him into the office of the Holy Ministry, sending Thomas out with Christ's authority into the world to deliver and continually point to Christ's peace-gaining scars. Thomas would not only confess, "My Lord and my God," he would preach it and lay his hands on other Christians in holy absolution, also laying his hands on other men in their ordination. Thomas would confess and preach until he himself was martyred as an eyewitness and confessor of the living Christ and of the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is no mere spirit. He is flesh, born of Mary, amid blood and water. And the Spirit bears witness to this. Christ Jesus was circumcised and baptized. More blood and water. And the Spirit bears witness to this. Christ was crucified and thrust with a spear. More blood and water. And the Spirit bears witness to this. And the Lord commissioned Thomas and the other sent ones to baptize and administer the Lord's Supper. More blood and water. And the Spirit bears witness to this. The Spirit gives life. For the Spirit points to Jesus, who continually comes and points to his glorious scars for you, ever reminding the church that the Father is satisfied in the sending of his Son. The Spirit has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified you, keeping you in the true faith. It is indeed the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And the truth, dear friends, is that Jesus has died for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Christ's glorious resurrected scars will ever proclaim and give you his peace. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.